And now it's time for our reading. Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." If you can believe without seeing, that's amazing, and we celebrate that. But it's not the same for everyone. Some need to search and explore and question. And we understand and support the waiting and the looking too. Now Paul's going to talk to us.
Thanks, Pam. Right, good morning, everybody. A quick question. Who knows what ornithology is? Any ideas? Ornithology. Funny word, isn't it? I'll tell you. It's the study of birds. You'd think they'd call it birdithology, wouldn't you? But no, it's ornithology. Now, I don't know very much about birds myself, but I know we've got birds in our garden. I wonder if you've got the same birds in your garden as I've got in our garden. So put your hands up if in your garden you've seen a blackbird. Oh, quite a good number. Excellent. What about a robin? Bit smaller. Yeah, good scattering there too. That's excellent. Okay, what about starlings? If you know what they look like. Very good. Yeah, quite a bit less, but quite a good gathering. Now, we had two new birds come in our garden this year. Never seen them before. What about goldfinches? Oh, yes, we've got some goldfinches too. Excellent. Well, that's very impressive. Okay, I'm going to do another quick bird test. See if you can tell me which bird this feather is from. What bird do you think that feather's from? Oh, yes. On the back, what do you think?
Pigeon.
A pigeon. Very good. Harder one. What about this one? That's a bigger one, isn't it? That would be an enormous pigeon if that was a pigeon, wouldn't it? That'd be a big one, but it's not a pigeon. Any ideas? Have a shout out at the back. Oh, I didn't hear that. A goose, did you say? It is a goose. Very good. Yes, it's a goose. I found it on a golf course. Very good. Now, my brother is very interested in birds too, but his daughter, my niece, is an expert. In fact, she's an ornithologist. She studies birds. That's what she does. And she's traveled all over the world exploring and finding out more about birds. Where they live, what do they eat, how far can they fly, how big are the eggs, all sorts of details. She's always uncovering new things about birds wherever she goes. And we're going to have a picture of her in a minute. This is her. Her name is Alex. And the bird next to her is an albatross. Now, an albatross is supposed to have it's supposed to be the bird with the biggest wingspan. So see if you can show me with your arms, how wide do you think an albatross's wings are? That's quite wide. Oh, yes, pretty wide. Very, well, it's certainly big. If I demonstrate a little bit, so if I do that as wide as I could possibly go, from fingertip to fingertip, that's one wing. And then the other wing would be here. So it's a huge bird with its wings out. It doesn't look so big when it was on the screen, did it? But it's actually, when its wings are out, it's a really, really big bird. But they don't come round here. They're a bird from the very far south. They fly around near Antarctica, in the southern hemisphere, in the South Atlantic, thousands of miles away from here. But I did hear, I don't know if anyone else heard this, on the radio this week, they mentioned that an albatross has been found flying around Yorkshire. It's a long way from home, and it's a real rarity that a bird like that comes as far north as this. Normally, you have to go thousands of miles to see albatrosses, and that's exactly what Alex had to do to see that albatross. She had to go all the way to the South Atlantic to a small island called, helpfully, Bird Island. It's not a very big island. In fact, we'll see a picture of it, I think, coming up now. It's only 4 kilometres long, and it's only 800 metres wide, which is really small for an island. She stayed there for a year and a half with a few other people, not many, and basically studying this colony of albatrosses that lived there. And Bird Island, if you see the next picture, you'll see where Bird Island is. That's Antarctica there at the bottom. The Falkland Islands you can see near South America, but Bird Island is right off there near South Georgia. Basically, it's the middle of nowhere. So she stayed in a really, really remote place to look for these birds. And it's amazing how far ornithologists will go to discover and explore more about birds. Now, we come to church to explore and find out more about our faith. Nobody knows everything, and there's always more to discover, and we call that sometimes theology, not ornithology, but theology. And today, in our reading, we heard a story about a man we call Doubting Thomas. And we call him that because when all the other disciples came to him and said, "We've seen Jesus," he said, "No, I don't believe that," because he'd seen Jesus die a few days earlier. So he said, "I don't believe that. I won't believe it until I see it with my own eyes." And then sure enough, later on, he does meet Jesus himself. And that changes everything. Now, we all have doubts and questions about our faith from time to time. But like ornithologists, there are things we can do to explore and find out more about our faith and what we believe, thankfully, without having to go to the South Atlantic. Phew. There are lots of things we can read about our faith, not just in the Bible, but in books about the Bible or about other Christians. We can ask people with more experience than we have, which might be older Christians or church leaders, or it might be our mums and dads. But if we're not so interested in the theory side of our faith, there's also some field work we can do. Now, as Christians, what that really means is going out into our neighborhoods and practicing kindness or godliness, as we might sometimes call it. After all, if we involve ourselves in the things God cares about in the world, we may stand more chance of meeting him. So, be on the lookout for God in your life, and he might surprise you, like seeing a rare bird unexpectedly.
Good morning, everyone. I am so sorry I'm not with you in person. As I know has been explained already, Lorna has a bit of a cough. So we're going through the whole rigmarole of getting tested and just making absolutely sure that we're safe and following the guidance. I am sending you this from my study once again this morning. On to our talk. So every morning, my day begins like this. One of my kids hollers, "The sun's up!" And I think the following thoughts in quick succession. What day is it? What does this mean? What's the weather going to be like? What am I going to wear? The basic establishing of the facts is how I begin each and every day. But there is a real danger that in the busyness of life, that we never get any further than that. There are bigger questions to explore. Where am I going in life? What is the point of me? Why am I here? These are the most fundamental and important questions of life, and yet so often we shove them aside because life is a hamster wheel and we don't have time to stop. We want to say yes to God and to his invitation to our church to explore these bigger, more important questions together. And he's not afraid of our exploring. He welcomes it. We look for our answers every day. We scroll through the internet, through Wikipedia, through Google. We scour the internet, which mostly just churns up inadequate or superficial responses. Or we end up down some rabbit hole that we never intended to go down anyway. If you don't have all the answers, you are in the right place today, because a big part of the Christian journey is exploring these things together. I think it was Rowan Williams who said, "Theology is the quest for the least inadequate thing we can say about God." Theology is the quest for the least inadequate thing we can say about God. And I love that, because it begins with the humble owning of the fact that we are never going to have all the answers. We are never going to have all the answers, quite simply because we are not God. Many of the pioneers of modern science were Christians. Newton, who discovered gravity, Kepler, an astronomer, Galileo, an inventor and astronomer, Copernicus, who looked into navigation, Pasteur, who discovered antibiotics, Faraday, for his work in electronics, Kelvin, a physicist who taught us how to measure temperature. All of these people put their faith in Christ. Francis Collins, the pioneer of the Human Genome Project, is a man deeply rooted in his faith, and he speaks on the Alpha Course. These are people who are not afraid to explore. They explore the world of science and they explore the world of faith. So let's explore these things together. Scientists arrive at their conclusions based on evidence, and it is possible to do this with our faith. There is so much richness to be had in pressing on together in our faith and finding out more. Will we ever have all the answers? No, definitely not. I, for one, find the more questions I ask, the more I grow and learn. So in what ways can we ask questions? Well, the obvious one is Alpha. When I was a brand new Christian, I remember saying over and over, "I don't get the cross. I just don't get it. I couldn't get my head around it." And that's for good reason, because it's totally mind-blowing. If you have ever encountered God, or you have questions that you've never had the opportunity or confidence to ask before, then this is the right place for you. There's a new course starting in September. We don't have the details sorted yet, but if you'd be interested in joining us, please do let us know. Do I get the cross now? No, not really, if I'm being honest. But I do have a less inadequate response than I used to have, I hope, through the process of exploring with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Connect groups is another great way. They run for just one term based around different themes. Last term there was a group that dived into a really meaty piece of Christian teaching in a book group called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And there was another that primarily spent time together exercising and learning about God through friendship and laughter and prayer and just in one another's company. Details of all of next term's groups will be shared as soon as they're finalised, but do keep your eye out for that. It's a great way to get involved. Home groups, a place of incredible, deep richness and learning and prayer. I've had the privilege of going to a couple of home groups, and every time I've been stretched and challenged, and I've been loved to my bones each time, and I'm so grateful for our home groups, another way we can keep exploring together. So let's keep exploring. Any more persuading necessary, then listen to this. If you live to be 70, you're going to spend 20 years and 3 months asleep, unless you have small children, in which case it's definitely less than that. If you live to be 70, you're going to spend 10 years and 5 months watching TV. You're going to spend 5 years and 9 months in some form of transportation, and 7 years and 6 months eating and drinking. We have limited time on this planet. Let's not be afraid to dive into the big questions together in an atmosphere of love and acceptance. Because true fulfillment is found in a life lived with Jesus. So let's press into our exploring together with him. Amen.